Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to be with you today. What a beautiful music, right? Just so powerful in that way. I have some non-church friends who say, well, we figured out why you and Becky go to church all the time. It's like a place where you go to escape from the world, you know? Get out of New York. Come to the church and just let the music and the positive atmosphere just kind of like be a place that you can kind of hide away. I say, well, you know, part of that's true, yes. We do love to go. We do love to praise God. We do feel the affirmation and the connection with other people. But we don't really go to the church to hide away. We go to the church to kind of get recentered, refocused, to kind of reset for how to deal with the world. In fact, the Bible says that we're supposed to be in the world, not escaping the world, not trying to get out of the world. We're supposed to be in the world, but just not to be of the world. That God wants to give us a new approach, a new attitude, a new thinking about how to live in this world. Because it's so easy to kind of just absorb the values of the world and just be like everybody else. So this morning we come together to kind of see what God wants to do in us. How he wants us to look at our world and perhaps, well, not be like the world, not be conformed to it, but to be like him. And to do what he wants us to do. It's been about a year and a half, almost 2 years now, since the New York Times published a rather scathing article about a Hollywood producer. They laid out very clearly all his history of sexual misconduct. It launched a movement called Me Too. Then that women all across the country, and I think around the world, and some men too have been able to come forward and say, you know what, we've been manipulated. We've been abused sexually. And that's pretty much what happens, I think, in the world. God gives us a wonderful gift, something that he wants us to use, you know, in terms of our sexuality, use it to express love, to be part of a marriage relationship. And what do? Oh, we take it and use it as a weapon. So a lot of women have told their story and said, look, there's been sexual misconduct at my work. My raises, my pay, my position has often been threatened by the fact of whether I would be involved sexually with this person of power and influence that kind of was controlling my life in all these ways. Some people have been reminded of the sexual abuse that went on when they were younger, when they were not able to fight off the people who came to them, many of them people who they knew, someone in their family. There have been a lot of situations where people have been taken and raped against their will. And so many, many people carry a lot of scars. They carry a lot of hurt inside. I know you didn't come to church to want to hear about this, but this is the real world. This is the world that we live in. And what's happening is that the people around the world are starting to rise up and say, no, We refuse to let this continue to dominate us and to control us. We're telling our stories. Well, I have to say, with sadness and some anger, that you know what? It's been in the church too. That there is a hashtag church too, where people in the church who have been able to tell their story about sometimes how maybe their pastors or leaders, their youth leaders, maybe other members in the church, people that have been there and who kind of put on a good front have been also used their position and their power to abuse people, men, women, girls, boys. They've done terrible things. And in the midst of this whole situation, we're kind of looking and saying, what do we do? How do we respond to this? In a sense, the world has kind of given us a better example to kind of say, we're going to bring it out in the open. We're going to tell our stories. Sometimes even in the church, we've tried to cover things over, not really address it, just kind of, you know, hide it away with all these things. The truth is, they say now 1 in 5, some maybe 1 in 4 women have experienced some form of sexual abuse. Maybe with men, 1 in 10, 1 in 8. Often they're too embarrassed to talk about what's really going on in their life. And so what we, in these situations, we need to face what's happening. Because many of us, some of us here, are wounded. And we've carried these things in our heart. And it hurts. It's done great damage to us. But we've come today to talk about the healing that can come. Are we starting a new series called Wounded? For these next few weeks, we're going to talk about the realities of the world and of the church. We're going to talk about the scarring that's gone on, the fear that people have had to live with. But we're going to talk about, well, the response that Jesus can bring to us. We believe that in the midst of all of our troubles, even the troubles in our church, that we can look to him, that he can guide us and help us, and that he can show us what it means. We want to be a church that's safe for women. We want to be a church that's safe for children and for young people. We want to be a place where people know that they can come here and be empowered to do great things, not be used and manipulated for someone's evil purposes. So this morning, we want to take a look at that. We're being honest about it. Some people would like to think a church is just like a museum full of saintly people, you know? And we're all just, you know, we look wonderful. We're like Madame Tussauds for Manhasset here, you know? But we're not a museum, okay? We're a hospital. And some of us, we're hurting. We've been wounded. And then we're a hospital and we're a rehab. And that we can receive the grace of God. We can receive the comfort and the encouragement of the community. We can work together to get the newness that he wants to give us. I was doing some physical therapy this week, working on my back, trying to get a little stronger. And I was doing the exercises. I thought I was doing them the right way, but my therapist came across the room and said, "Jack, what are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm doing what I'm thinking." He says, no. And he showed me a whole different way. He said, "This is how you're going to make yourself stronger." Then he looked at me and said, why'd you start doing it that way? I said, "Well, the person, that guy over there, he was doing it that way." So I just did what he did. He looked at me and said, "Jack," he said, "don't look at what other people do and do what they do. Look at me. I'm your therapist. You listen to me. You do what I tell you to do." Well, this morning, I opened God's word with that kind of attitude. That I'm not going to look at what everybody else is doing. We're going to look into God's word and say, God, what is it that you're doing? And show us the way to go. This morning in Luke chapter 8, we're going to read the first three verses. It's page 1036 if you'd like to use the Bibles here at Shelter Rock. These are what I'd call flyover verses. A lot of times in the Bible, they love the favorite stories. In fact, right after this, he tells the story of the sower and the seed. And then the heading, that's what it puts, the sower and the seed. And like the first three verses don't even get any mention at all. Sometimes we run right over these verses in the Bible. We don't stop and go, "Oh, look what's happening." So let's look at these verses with fresh eyes this morning. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their means. This is God's word to us this morning. How many of you have skipped over this passage many times? Just kind of they didn't even stop to look and kind of see what's here. Because what we see is a clear picture here that being with Jesus was a safe place for a woman to be. It was a place where they felt respected, where they felt empowered, where they felt like, you know, this is we're understanding who we were created to be. And we felt of equal value to all the men who were around us. Somehow Jesus makes this very clear to them. I have three quick things to tell you today. Here's number one. There's no person that Jesus didn't welcome. Now, you might think, well, of course, you know, but it hasn't always been this way. In the ancient culture and even in the biblical Jewish culture, that this time of life, women were often seen as, well, they were substandard. They were second and third class. They didn't really get to be with the people, you know, in terms of places of privilege. And they were often overlooked. They were put down. And they understood that their role in society was not to be, you know, with the leaders and with the men. Jesus was like a rabbi. He was a teacher. He was a traveler. He would come around and teach people. There were many other rabbis around too. They had disciples, just like Jesus had, but all their disciples were all men. And probably you thought, well, Jesus had all male disciples too, right? But what did we just read today? In the verses here, we see that there were women who were with him, with him. They weren't just there making sandwiches and doing the laundry, okay? They were really with him. They were followers of Jesus. They were doing what God, you know, was calling them to do and being a part of this whole thing. And so Jesus was giving women equal value, equal teaching, equal position in all these things. You search the Bible, you begin to see that Jesus had a remarkable connection with women. I mean, certainly with his mother, Mary. Mary Magdalene, who's mentioned in this passage, the Syrophoenician woman. There was a woman who had been bent over for 18 years with pains, and Jesus took time with her. Mary and Martha, the two sisters, the widow with the two coins. Jesus didn't overlook her or put her down because of the poverty that she was in. He pointed her out. And then even in the woman at the well. In fact, in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk more in depth about her. But in John chapter 4, there's an incredible line that kind of says, when the disciples came back from getting the food, they were amazed, they marveled, they were surprised to see that Jesus was talking to a woman. And even more surprising, a Samaritan woman, a woman from a different culture, a different country. Like, what are you doing? Men don't do this. You know, religious men, leaders, we don't talk to women. Well, evidently, Jesus was showing them a different way. He was showing them that women really count. History shows many instances of women being put down. Here's a famous Jewish prayer, a common Jewish prayer. Many Jewish men would wake up in the morning, they would say, I thank you, God, that I'm not a Gentile, that I'm not a slave, and that I'm not a woman. Boy, that's good praying, isn't it? My goodness. But you know, when Jesus came and the lives he touched, and you know what happened in terms of the way that they learned to follow him, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the way the church began to come together, the church looked entirely different from the way society looked. Jesus' presence and them following Jesus caused them to set up a whole new way of relating to each other. Look in this passage from Galatians. When the Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Galatia, and he's describing the new connection, the new community that we have. Look what he says. So in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God. Like that word, all, right? You're all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And get this, here we go, 1, 2, 3. And there is neither Jew nor Gentile, bingo, number one, neither slave nor free, number two, and here comes number three, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Did you get this? Here's the scripture telling us basically that how false and phony that prayer is, right? Because it's saying Gentiles are welcome here, and they're of equal value, and slaves are welcome here. They're equal part of the community. And women, well, they were created in the image of God just like men were. And guess what? We don't let those differences divide us up and put us in different categories. We're all part of what God's doing here. Amen? So Jesus, there's no person that Jesus doesn't welcome. Number two, there's no wound that Jesus cannot heal. We live in, you know, we face it. People have hurt us. People have been damaged. But guess what? There is hope and healing in Jesus. You know, the Me Too movement has empowered women. It's encouraged them to tell their story. And that's a good first step. I mean, if you've been hurt, if you've been damaged, if people have, you know, come against you in a terrible way, the first thing is to just speak up, to tell your story, to find a place where you can tell your story and be respected and be heard. But speaking up isn't the only thing to do. It's a good starting point, but what you need to understand, you need to bring your wounds to someone who can heal you. And we're saying this morning, I think the scripture tells us very clearly, we can bring our wounds to Jesus and let him begin to start the healing process in us. You see, the good news of the kingdom that Jesus brought was that God has entered the world to redeem us, to reclaim us, and then to restore us. He wants to bring us back to the health that he intends for us to have. Jesus himself came and was rejected and wounded. And he was wounded for our healing. God put himself into the world, allowed himself to be destroyed, to be manipulated, to be damaged, to be misused. Why? Because he gave himself so that we could find healing in what he's done for us. You see here, Mary Magdalene, you know, came with her wounds. In the passage, we read about this. Oftentimes, Mary Magdalene is associated with being a prostitute. That's not true. The scripture doesn't teach it. Pope Gregory, back in 500 or 600, decided to kind of tie Mary Magdalene into the prostitute story. And most Bible scholars would now say that's absolutely not true. But she did have trouble in her life. Remember what we read this morning, that she had 7 demons cast out of her in that way. You know what demon possession does to someone? The biggest thing is a demon possession in your life will make it so you can't control yourself. You can't control your facial movements. You can't control how you speak. You can't control what you say. It just kind of just takes over in you and even leads you, almost in many cases, leads you to suicide, leads you to destroy yourself in these ways. And so Mary Magdalene came with all of her wounds and problems. Probably not the person you kind of say, oh, I want to sit next to her, okay? Probably not the person you say, let's invite her into the group. Yet here's Jesus reaching out to her and healing her and casting these demons out of her because he sees the real value of who she is. And he heals her and brings her in with all of this. So Mary Magdalene comes to him. You know, God's still doing that. He's still working in people's lives like this. Out in Syosset, I lead a little prayer community on Tuesday nights. You know, it's a compliment to the great prayer service that you have here on Tuesday evenings. And out in Syosset, we've just got a small group kind of getting together, but people come together to pray for the needs of the church. And it just never fails that people show up with needs and hurts. A few months ago, a lady named Queen came to see us. She came through the door. She looked so destroyed. She said, I just found out my husband's been lying to me. He's been deceiving me for months. He's got another woman, and he wants to be with her and not me. I mean, you know how that you would feel on the inside. She looked like that on the outside. What was, you know, the rejection that she was feeling with all of those things. The ladies in our group just gathered around her. They sat next to her. They were so kind and tender to her. And they just let her tell her story. She just poured out of her, all the hurt and the pain and the sorrow and the pessimism about what was ahead. She said, "My whole life has just gone dark, and it's getting darker every day." They just prayed for her. They asked God to come and be with her. After the service was over, one of the ladies who lives close to her made a connection. She said, "I'll come see you tomorrow." They talked to her about getting some good food into her body, getting good night's sleep. You know, they began to read God's word to her. And suddenly she said, I began to realize God was with me. He hadn't rejected me. My husband had rejected me, but I wasn't rejected by God. And that he began to lift me up. And she said the clouds began to, you know, the darkness began to lift. And I began to see that he was there. If you could see her now, her face just is radiant. When she comes through the door on Tuesday night, you say, is this the same woman that we used to know? God heals her. He's healing her. He's doing this. One of the things that happened 2 weeks ago, she told me she was at the diner with her teenage son. And she said, kind of a wave of sadness hit me. You know how that goes? That sometimes, you know, even though you're thinking you're over it, you know, the wave of sadness still comes and kind of hits you from the hit you in those unexpected moments. Well, she said the wave of sadness just came and got her. She said, I began to tell my son how sad I was that I'd been replaced, that my husband had replaced me with another woman. She said, and my son just looked at me and she said, well, you've replaced him with another man. She said, I don't have a boyfriend. I haven't been going out with any other guys. She said, her son looked at her and said, no, Mom. You replaced him with Jesus. You've got Jesus in your life now. And he's the one who's giving you the happiness and the joy that you have with all of this. She said, it was so touching. They both got out of the booth at the diner, went around the front of the table, and they just hugged each other in the middle of the diner. Everyone else is eating, going, what's going on here? But she was having a moment to kind of say, my teenage son sees the difference. Jesus' presence in my life has filled the loss that I had with all of these. Well, that's how it happens, right? And God can do the same for you. And he can work in your life. It's not snap, snap, snap. But listen, God, the Christian community can help you. We can pray together. We can help each other. We can lift each other up. And God will lift your darkness. And you'll see the difference it will make in your life. Queen told me this week when I asked her if I could tell this story. She said, I feel so safe now and so happy, more than I've ever felt in my whole life. Last thing I want to tell you is this. There is no person whose gift Jesus will not use. It's one of the things that we heard Pastor Jim and the voices of Lee talk about. Just take what God gives you and then just use it. Whatever it is, use it and see if you can be an encouragement to other people. Could I even suggest this morning that you could take the hurt and the pain that you had in your life and let God use it to be a tool to help other people, to build them up. In Luke, we get this picture, these verses. These women were using what was being given to them, this new relationship, this new position that they had with Jesus, this safe place that they had. Now they were serving and helping other people, and God was using them along the way. And they continued to do it. I mean, they were faithful. You think, well, where are the women really in the story? Well, guess what? When Jesus was being crucified on the cross, most of the men had run away, right? And the women were the ones who were there with Jesus. And on the third day, the men, I don't know, I guess they were still hungover, okay? Because they didn't have any desire to go down to the tomb to see what was going on. But it was the women who went down to the tomb, and they're the ones who saw the great discovery and heard the news that Jesus was risen. Well, listen, this morning I want to say to you, God wants to draw you to himself so that he can use your talents and your gifts, use your experience, use your story to lift up other people. Queen told me this week, she said, I've applied to be a mentor in Long Island Youth Mentoring. She's going to be working with a young child, mentoring, who probably has a single mom. Do you see what a perfect fit this is? She's going to be able to work with another single mom, be able to share, well, the good news and the encouragement with him. So use your gifts in that way. There's a lot of places here in the church where you can use those gifts or you can grow in these areas. Take a look at this list that's going to be on the screen. Here in the church, you can see you could be part of divorce care. In fact, Queen was very much helped by divorce care. Happens here on Friday nights. People who've been hurt, people who've been rejected, they come together and they meet together. They talk with each other. They help each other. And this can happen to you. The prayer services that are going here, if you've been wounded, if you're struggling, come on Tuesday nights. People will come and talk with you and pray with you. They'll ask God's Spirit to come and heal you. Be part of the care team and find out that you can use in your brokenness, you can be serving other people and encouraging them and helping them as you give. Our Pure Desire group and our women's stories are helping people break free from the betrayal, the hurt of sexual addiction and other things. Many, many opportunities. Take a look at all these things and kind of say, there's a place in this church where God can use a program, a class, a group of people to kind of help me to be what God wants me to be, to change my life. Take this opportunity. We want this church to be a place where we're being healed and rehabbed to do God's work. Here's the last thing I'll tell you. Henry Nouwen wrote these words and said, nobody escapes being wounded. Whether we're all wounded, we're all wounded people, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. The main question is not how can we hide our wounds so that we don't have to be embarrassed, but the real question is how can we put our woundedness into the service of others? And when our wounds cease to be a source of shame, well, they become a source of healing. And we become wounded healers. Jesus himself was our wounded healer. Listen to Isaiah 53. You know these verses. He was despised and rejected by mankind. He was a man of suffering and familiar with pain. He was like one whom the people hid their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low self-esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. All of us, like sheep, we've gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus came to take the pain. He came to be our healer. And I want you to be healed today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord God, there are many people in this room who need healing. We've been hurt by others. We've been damaged. Sometimes it has caused us so much despair and so much darkness in our life that we wonder if there's any way out. We wonder if there's anyone who cares about us. But Lord, we listen to your word this morning, and we hear your promises. We see that by your coming and by your suffering and your death, you've brought joy and life to us. As you were humiliated, well, God raised you up. When you were rejected, well, you helped to form this community of love where all people can be accepted. And as followers of you, Jesus, we were willing to let you touch our wounds, to heal us, to bring healing to us so that we can bring healing to others. Lord Jesus, come, be with us. Lord, I remember what Queen said this week. She said, I wouldn't be here if I had not found the people of God and heard the words of Jesus promising me that he would be with me and give me hope and strength. So, Lord, I pray this morning for the people here who need hope and need strength. Let them know that you're close to them. Let them experience the community, the fellowship of your people. Lord, we want to be your wounded healers in this world. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.